You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 77 of Atheistically Speaking with your host, Thomas Smith. And lots to talk about, as usual. So I think I have to comment on, there's a bit of, I don't know, it's kind of annoying to call it a feud. But at the same time, I don't, is there a better word for what's going on between Sam Harris and CJ Werlemann? And I mean, CJ's been on the show several times, and Sam Harris is somebody I talk about a lot. So it's, I mean, I kind of, I think it's, well, very, very tied to the show. So I want to talk about that. And then I don't know if I did you guys justice. I think I might have shortchanged you guys a little on the abortion debate, because I got so many comments and I was able to talk about on the air so few. So I think I might look at that again. So, but first, you know, I'm sure a lot of people already know about this, but in case you don't, CJ, who, like I said, been on the show a couple times, very nice guy. But as you all know, has some very interesting viewpoints, and he's pretty extreme in a lot of ways against Sam Harris and against New Atheists, and we can find common ground, and we have, but I mean he knows, and obviously he's never going to listen to this, but he knows. I'm sure he's not like a regular podcast listener, but you know, he knows we disagree. I've been very open that, you know, I disagree with him on a lot, and I try to call it out, but he went on the Young Turks Network, I guess, is a pretty big online thing. I've seen it a few times, but I haven't really paid a lot of attention to it. And I believe that's what sort of started this, what I think is like a second phase of feud. Again, a weird word, because I think they're, honestly, this is not meant as any sort of insult towards CJ or any, or even like worshiping of Sam Harris, but I think they're kind of on two different levels. They're not, you know, I think, and he would admit that, and he actually did in some things. Like they're definitely, you know, Sam Harris has a wider influence, and he hadn't heard about CJ until last year when CJ wrote a really, you know, a really vitriolic article about Sam Harris, as CJ is wont to do. But let me just start. Well, okay, I'll start where it started, I guess. Maybe that's not a good idea. This is, I just watched a little bit of this. It's 20 minutes. I don't have time to watch the whole thing. It's too late already. But no, I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm just going to play the beginning. This is just CJ Werlemann beginning on Young Turks Network. And we can already kind of see what's going on here.
I don't know how much clearer I could be than that. And harmful in terms of the ideology that's put out there, as all of the religions are.
But this
I'm
is obviously
what
not
CJ him. Thinks when it comes to the Sam Harris, Bill Maher controversy.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of coverage on the blogosphere and so forth about Affleck's comment, him being, you know, being gross and racist in comments. My concerns go deeper than that. I believe he's dangerous. I believe he's as dangerous as, well, imagine having Sam Harris as president of the United States with access to the nuclear launch codes. That is no different to the fear of having Sarah Palin in charge of the nuclear launch codes.
Wow.
Bill, this is a guy that has a binary worldview, us versus them, mm-hmm. good versus bad, has already said that would support possibly a nuclear first strike on the Arab world, has already said that it's justifiable in some instances that you may kill people for just having bad ideas. Now, think about that for a moment. Where has that happened before in the past in history? Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. You know, Mao Zedong, when he invaded Tibet, said to the Dalai Lama there, religion poisons everything and we're going to kill all the religious people. Bill Maher and his acolytes are as historically and culturally and geopolitically ignorant as any Christian fundamentalist that you will ever meet.
Wow, I'm surprised at the degree of your comments.
Yep.
I've gotten a lot of heat for comments, a lot less than that. So let's talk that through.
Yeah, so this guy who's apparently not a fan of Sam Harris is like, that's pretty, wow, okay. And that's CJ's style. I mean, he's really, so here's my problem with CJ. And I may tell him this next time I talk to him. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, there's no way he listens to this. But if he does, CJ, here's my problem. And this is a big kind of, there's a lot of aspects to this and stuff I want to go through. So I hope to not get ahead of myself. But I think the general theme that I'm having a problem with is CJ doesn't seem to hold himself accountable for things he says to the degree that he holds anyone else accountable. And like to an extreme degree. Now I understand everyone's going to be a little biased. I think that though I tend to be very careful, maybe too careful. I actually saw a iTunes review that said like, I can't even listen to this guy. Cause he's like, doesn't, what was it? Did I read that one? I forget. But it was something like, I can't listen anymore because he's constantly questioning himself or, you know, essentially like I wasn't confident enough. And it was kind of interesting. I've never been more unsure of how to take something. I was like, well, I lost a listener and if I lost one, I'm sure I lost a lot or something. But I guess I can only hope that maybe other people like the fact that I'm not like terribly confident in everything, because that's what CJ just did. I mean, CJ went on and said, Sam Harris is not only what you said, whoever this guy is, Mr. Young Turk, who he seems like a pretty cool guy, but anyway, you know, not only that, but, he's dangerous. He's literally dangerous, he said. And it's like, I don't have that. I hope you guys aren't looking for that. I don't think you're looking for the extreme rhetoric and the, you know, these, blah, 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 Sam Harris is dangerous. Literally. I don't have that. I'm a little, I tend to be a little cautious in my speaking. It's not all the time. And you know, even being cautious as I am, I still mess up all the time and people call me out on it. And that's totally cool. I want everyone to call me out on everything. And then what happens is it hurts a little bit, stings a little bit. But then I read it and I have a response and I usually can figure out, sometimes I'm just wrong. That's happened. Not as often as usually people misinterpret stuff or assign. A lot of times commenters kind of bring in their own baggage and like lump you in with, and I say you, not you, unless you guys have podcasts, you know, they'll lump kind of things I've said in with stuff that I think they've heard other people say. Like a lot of times criticism is like not, you know, it's not fully on me. It's I can accept responsibility for some of it, but some other parts are like, I didn't really say that. You're kind of, but anyway, there's a wide range. But so all this is to say that I think despite the fact that we can all be guilty of this, I think CJ is more guilty of this than other people. He really says things and does not take himself, I think he just doesn't take himself seriously enough, maybe in an odd way. And so that's sort of what I've after reading a lot of this stuff, and I'm going to go through it with you. That's what I'm getting here. It's a little frustrating. So, I mean, you just heard he called Sam Harris dangerous. He said it would be just as bad for him to be president as Sarah Palin. I mean, imagine that. I really, that statement is just false. It just is. There's no chance. I mean, And he missed again, miss or incompletely quoted. I don't know if he, I'm not totally off the top of my head. I'm not sure he exactly misquoted, but he misleadingly quotes Sam Harris as saying, well, he believes in killing people just for ideas. And it's, you know, no, not really. That's not really what he believes. He said, sometimes it may be ethical to kill someone for an idea when you can't capture them. If they have it in their head that you have to die, they need to kill you or they need to kill innocent people, and you can't capture them, then it may be ethical to kill them to prevent them from killing a bunch of people. Now, if you guys want to disagree with that you're free to do so. Of course, everybody's free to disagree with that. I personally agree with it. I'll come out and say I think over the years I've definitely become a little bit, you know, less of a supporter of Sam Harris. I know I talk about him a lot. But I've had a lot of people on the show who've really challenged my views, and Not to say I think less of him. I think I see some weaknesses in some of his arguments. And I'm fully willing to do that. I mean, no one in the movement or anywhere is infallible, and that's just how it is. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks that, but there are a lot of fans who treat, you know, the horsemen as infallible horse people. But anyway, despite that, I think that one thing you do have to do is represent his views accurately if you're going to criticize them. I mean, that's just basic. You know, that's the number one. If you're going to criticize someone and you're going to quote them, you need to know what they're saying and you need to represent it right. Or you're criticizing something that isn't there. You know, it's almost like straw manning. It's almost like there's a term for it. It's called straw manning. You're putting building a straw man of their argument. It's just not really, I don't even know if it's that, cause this is not even Sam Harris's argument. A lot of these things, like he thinks, like he's going to advocate a nuclear first strike. I off the top of my head, I forget that passage. I know the other one pretty well because I see it misquoted so often. But the thing is, I think there are legitimate concerns with Harris's views here. And I think that I even think that CJ has expressed them before pretty well. I think he's pointed out a few things. I definitely don't agree with everything CJ says by any means. But I think he's done a good job and quoted a few people slash maybe didn't quote. We'll get to that later. A few people who have pointed out things that challenge the view. But that gets lost in this just avalanche of rhetoric that he just unloaded on us. He's dangerous, like literally dangerous. Is Sam Harris dangerous, guys, do you think? I mean, is he literally dangerous? Or is it, even his ideas. I mean, these ideas that he's I tell you what, these misinterpretations of his ideas are dangerous. I'll grant you that. Like, maybe you could say just by writing what he wrote, which was very nuanced and was like, had a ton of qualifiers, you know, when he talked about the killing people for beliefs thing. I apologize, by the way, there, you might be hearing random noises. I am, with the help of Bangs Naughty Bits, super supporter Bangs Naughty Bits, he's helping me try to figure this out. I'm having just an avalanche of technical difficulties. I really don't know what's happening. I may need to buy a new mic because the one I changed to, I forgot why I stopped using it. It's because it's going bad. But then in addition to that, I've got some weird hardware thing. But neither here nor there. So please excuse various clicks and beeps or whatever the hell you're hearing. I'm doing my best to fix that. I really am. But it's just like this mystery problem that no one knows, you know, like, everyone I've talked to on tech support or whatever, they have no idea. And it's a hard thing to solve. I can't tell you how many hours I've spent just lost in a maze of troubleshooting or, you know, it just doesn't, maybe I'm not, I probably just don't know enough, but Bangs Naughty Bits, Mr. Bangs, he does know enough. So slowly, with the time I have, I'm trying to fix it. So, okay. End that little side note. Sorry about that. So yeah, these misrepresentations. So this started some sort of debate between or exchange or something between Sam and CJ. And now things get a little muddy because I remember I saw a tweet where CJ said like, oh, I've decided to post these emails between me and Sam Harris just so you can see what a guy, you know, like what, I don't remember the tweet and it's since been deleted, but it was something like I'm posting this so you can kind of see how he operates or something like that. Which was interesting. It essentially showed that CJ thought he was going to show what a dick Sam Harris is or something like that. That was the effect that I remember. Now, this is completely my memory. Maybe someone who saw the tweet again, I looked for it. It's been deleted. I managed to track down the email collection. And I say that, but now that I look at the URL, the Godless Spell Checker saved it and posted it. So it's not like I was tracking it down in a forest, like a, you know, I was digging through the earth to find this. If God, the Spell Checker has far more followers and stuff than I do posted it, then I guess it was pretty readily available, but it took like, guys, it took like three Google searches. Okay. That's pretty, you know, that's a lot of exploring. That's a lot of, you know, hard labor trying to track something down. Three separate Google searches. But anyway, so CJ posted, this was the first I saw this. He said, I'm posting this email exchange. And he got, I saw under the tweet when I saw it, he got some flack from people, some other people I follow too, because I follow all kinds of atheists and all that. And I follow too many now. I can't actually read all of them. That's the problem. I've noticed that on Twitter, guys. You notice that? There's a really good, like, number you can hone in to, hone. I always get that confused. Home into, I think it would be. It's honing is like you hone down to something. Anyway, there's a fine number of followers. There's a certain number where if you follow too few atheists, you're not going to get it, you know, or just people in general. I'm not going to get a good cross section. You follow too many, though. Now I just got constant information, constant tweets, not all of them good. And I sort of lose track of it. But anyway, I saw some people saying, CJ, this is really not cool that you're posting these emails without his permission. Because he didn't at that time, I believe he didn't have Sam Harris's permission. And I'm guessing, this is just a guess, CJ hasn't explicitly said where I've seen, because I went through his feed. He hasn't explained why he took down the tweets, but I would get, I mean, it's a pretty easy guess that it's because of the criticism he faced for, posting emails that he really, you know, were a personal exchange. They didn't have permission to just post. Here's the weird thing. All the emails are dated from a year ago. So I don't really get why, you know, because it threw me off because it said October, you know, it's like, oh, October, whatever. So these are recent. And then I looked at the year. They're like October 21st, 2013. And I would be highly embarrassed if you had any idea, listeners, how many times I had to go over my head like, that is last year, right? Because I'm a busy guy. I forget what year it is oftentimes, but I'm looking at my Mac now. It's telling me that it's 2014. I had to do this so many times because he wrote the tweet. The context of the tweet was like, oh, here's this email exchange we just had, essentially. And maybe I was reading into that too much, but that's what the tone seemed like. And like, why are you posting a year later? Like, we've been having this feud. Here it is. And then it's like, this is a year ago. What are you talking about? But anyway, so I had to check 100 times in my mind, like, it is 2014, right? So it's a little confusing, but I found these emails, and I think it's kind of important when we're talking about CJ and this whole thing to go over some of these because it's really curious. But anyway, like I said before, I go over them. I mean, people did tweet at him like, "This is really not cool," and I'm guessing that's why he took it down. And I'm guessing that Godless Spellchecker kept it for this reason, because Godless Spellchecker, who has a podcast and he was just a Twitter account for a while. He seems to be a big Sam Harris fan and is kind of defending him and going after CJ, which, you know, I'm not 100% on board with anyone as is the norm. I think that, there are good points to be raised, but, Godless Spellchecker going after CJ like this, my spider sense is just a little like, eh. I don't know. Feels a little weird. I don't like this witch hunt stuff of any kind. Like, even though I think a lot of it's justified because there are allegations of plagiarism and stuff, I think it's justified, but it feels a little weird. Like, CJ criticizes Sam Harris and now let's all find everything that's wrong with CJ. That feels a little like off to me. I don't quite like it. However, I think we do need to look at whatever the thing is and, you know, and evaluate it on its own merits. So, this email, here's the other thing about this email thread that CJ posted. CJ posted this and it's a PDF, I believe. No, it's a Google Doc. I remember it being a Google Doc, and it looks like Godless Spellchecker saved it as a PDF. The only reason I mention that is that I don't know that these emails are fully, together. Like based on a couple of the quotes or a couple of things I've seen in these email messages, it looks like maybe messages in between are left out, which would have been interesting to see what those were since this was selected by CJ. Not that it necessarily means anything bad. It's just it's a little curious when you see some of them. So It starts with one from Sam Harris saying to CJ saying, interesting, CJ, did you actually read my blog post or just the Salon hit piece? So that's all we start with. I don't know what we can kind of gather where this started. And CJ writes back, no, I didn't read your blog, which is not a good start. Having said that, I actually disagreed with much of the Salon piece. In fact, I think it spun your words to serve its own agenda, which is interesting. My disagreement is with your broader position on Islamic terrorism. I believe it's motivated purely by political objective. This seems to be the wider debate that I do want to have, and we have had a little bit, but I want to get deeper into it. But before we do that, I really want to go over this weird crap that's happening. So I'll continue. You believe it starts and ends with religious fundamentalism, and whether you intend to or not, it makes us atheists sound eerily similar to those who speak from the right-wing echo chamber. Obviously, that's harsh criticism given your service to atheism. You have liberated millions of minds, and I count myself as one of your fans. Seems like a little bit of smoke blowing there just to soften the blow, which, you know, whatever, I can relate to. But it's a little weird. But on the subject of Islam, I believe you missed the point. It's a travesty because you have the influence to change minds in foreign policy, but your comments get used to justify neoconservatism. I appreciate your note, CJ. So Sam Harris writes back, and again, this is a year ago, really, really odd. And this is sort of references the piece, the original piece. Sam writes, incredible. You brand me as the Pat Robertson of atheism, linking to this drivel on Salon and forwarding it to thousands of people without ever checking to see if the writer has misrepresented my views, which he has in every relevant respect. And then you want me to debate you. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a response to it. Like I said, maybe an email before. And then, I got to side with Sam on this. I mean, he hasn't even read the blog post. CJ does seem to be quite quick to we all are quick to our agenda. I get it, but he's very quick to his agenda. I mean, he admits there he didn't even read the blog post. I mean, he didn't even lie about it, which is surprising to me. He just says, nah, I didn't read the blog post, but he posted an article calling Sam Harris the Pat Robertson of atheism, which is, wow, pretty big insult. And this is where I'm starting to see, as I said earlier, like, I just don't think CJ understands how kind of, I don't want to say offensive, because that's not really the right word. Like, I don't think he understands the weight of some of the things he says. I mean, he says things about people, and I hope I don't do this. Maybe I do. I really hope not. He says things about people that are pretty critical and doesn't seem to think it's a big deal. I didn't use the right word there. Not just critical. Like, they're very, you know, rhetorically kind of extreme. And so I'll go on here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, I don't think. And then CJ said, ha, I see your point. Like, almost acknowledging, I guess, what he did. And here's what I really wanted to read. Here's CJ. I often err. It's weird. I don't know. Americans don't use that word that often, but it's just in sayings and stuff. But anyway, I have an on the side of extreme rhetoric. Is it error? It's not error. I know that. Error. How do you pronounce err? I have an on the side of extreme rhetoric to make a point. Do I think you're the Pat Robertson of atheism? No. And I owe you an apology on that. And I've deleted that tweet. But the rhetoric that comes from those who lean toward anti-Islam position over an anti-foreign policy position sounds a little PR Pat Robertson Fox Coulter like, which ultimately serves to keep the country making poor errors of judgment when it comes to our use of the military. So this is where I mean CJ really loses me. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know that he takes himself seriously enough. I think he needs to take what he says more seriously. I err on the side of extreme rhetoric. Even if you just said, oh, sometimes I use extreme rhetoric, but to err on the side of extreme rhetoric, this has been my problem with CJ from the beginning that I've brought to his attention. Maybe not as explicitly as now when I'm not talking to him, which I know feels a little crappy. I don't necessarily like that. I probably will get him on to talk to him about this at some point. Although maybe he's too big time now. He's engaging with it. No, he's always been a nice guy. And he's always just, if I ask him, hey, want to come on? He's always like, yeah, sure. He does everything. So personally, I've always liked him, but I think that, you know, this is a little to err on the side of extreme rhetoric. I mean, that's insanity. And in the same paragraph, he's criticizing the use of rhetoric. It's like, well, how does that work? I mean, it's like, oh, okay. Sorry about calling you a really like kind of hurtful thing and kind of like, you know, something that would damage your reputation to thousands of people. Sorry for calling you the Pat Robertson of atheism. Sorry about that. That's just me erring on the side of saying extremely like bad and damaging things about people. Anyway, how about all that rhetoric that people use? Like, isn't that weird? I mean, I don't think he gets that. I don't think he gets how weird that is. I mean, it sort of seems like he does based on he made some minor concessions, but I don't know. I really don't think he gets that. And that's my problem with CJ. And this is where I might just stop because it seems like we're missing an email because it just goes from that to Sam Harris saying, so I've been oblivious to the problem of wealth inequality, really. And he links three times he's written about it, which is actually totally true. I remember those articles from the time. Oh, and this is 5 days later. So maybe this is in response to something else. Still last year, though. And actually, I think this is an article I've talked about. This is an article, now I'm remembering. Gosh, has it been a year? Holy crap. I think I went on Jake's show to talk about this very article with CJ. I believe this was the first thing I met, first time I talked to CJ, first interaction with CJ. He wrote an article about how new atheists like Sam Harris don't need to take wealth and income inequality seriously. Or something. And so maybe we're led to believe from this email chain that Sam Harris just read that and emailed CJ, like just out of the blue. I don't know if that's what actually happened or if CJ just skipped whatever emails or something in between. I really honestly don't know. It could be either way. But it would seem odd that Sam would be putting this much energy into it to me, but maybe he did because he has a good point. So maybe that the fact that Sam perceived some injustice made him reach out to CJ. I don't know. Maybe I'll ask him sometime. But anyway, yeah, he did say, I mean, CJ did say in that article that the atheists weren't putting enough attention and to income inequality. And Sam links three articles where he's written on the same, that very subject. And then CJ says, if you read the piece again, you'll see I was specifically referring to the atheist movement's lack of attention given to wealth inequality. Moreover, I define the atheist movement not as individuals, authors, or thought leaders, but rather as the 2,000-plus atheist groups and organizations. And then we skip again, which is so weird. Here's where I think now this is where it's bordering on CJ maybe is being a tad dishonest in the emails that he published. Because we went from that, where CJ was perfectly cordial. And then Sam says, and this is a day later. This is 3 hours later. I apologize. This is 3 hours later. And Sam Harris says, it's remarkable that you think I'm being prickly and self-absorbed here. These are not words that were in the previous email. And it would be a complete shock to me if Sam, just out of the blue, said all those words, like invented that. Like, you think, I mean, not only like he's not, those don't seem like words where he's giving a general statement. That sounds like something he's quoting back at CJ. Like, CJ's like, we're missing an email where CJ said, like, it's awfully prickly and self-absorbed of you to assume that I'm talking about you instead of the entire, you know, the organizations wrote it. Like, that's what it feels like we're missing. And the other email, the next email is only a half hour after this one. So it's entirely possible to me that there was an exchange and we skipped, you know, 3 hours ahead. It seems weird. It seems like there's got to be something missing here, but I mean, I could be wrong, but doesn't that seem off? Like, to start and to go from this, let me just ask you guys, maybe I'm wrong. you know, but rather, you know, I define the atheist movement not as individuals, authors, or thought leaders, but rather as the 2,000 plus atheist groups, organizations. Cheers, CJ. And to go to that, from that to, it's remarkable that you think I'm being prickly and self-absorbed here. There's no way that that's the next thing. That's what Sam wrote to that. I can't believe that. There's got to be some other email we're missing. First, you retreat a libelous attack on me and brand me the Pat Robertson of atheism. When I confront you about this, you admit that you never took the time to read my original blog post. You then write an astonishingly self-serving piece in which you divulge the contents of my private email to you without my permission. Do you really know how uncool that is? Now that, I don't even know. Titled, Atheist Authors Feud Over Islamic Extremism. We're feuding? I never heard of you until I read your tweet. And we're not debating Islamic extremism. We're talking about how callowly you've been sniping at me. From what I can tell, you are completely deluded about Islamic extremism. Now, that's debatable. I don't think that's true. You then write another piece in which you again attack me by name, honoring me as one of the founders, quote unquote, honoring me as one of the founders of the movement that has so scandalously ignored the problem of wealth inequality. When I show you that I've written three long articles on the topic, you dodge and put the onus on me. Mate, the piece wasn't about you. Oh, okay. So here we go. Here's solid proof that we're missing an email because he's quoting an email that we don't have. So, yeah, so it seems like CJ decided not to include an email, which I think when you're publishing personal emails, if you're all right, CJ, this is a little effed up. And I respect at least that CJ took this down, but it was up for a while and it was up to thousands of people. CJ has tens of thousands of followers. And the fact that he's publishing a private email exchange and selectively doing so. I mean, it'd be one thing if you just said, hey, it's out in the open. This is out. Like, because that's an attitude you could take. Like, hey, I'm cool with just being out in the open. Let's get it all out there. I'm, you know, I can own what I said. But to publish an email exchange and not publish a critical email where it looks like maybe he was a little insulting to Sam Harris based on the quotes that we're seeing, like, that's pretty messed up. It's pretty messed up. I'm not really sure what he was thinking there. I got to say. I don't know. Sound off, listeners. I mean, I like CJ. I disagree with him. I agree with him on some things. This is just bad form. It really is. Sorry, I'll finish that email. I'm glad I kept reading this because I forgot about this particular part. Mate, the piece wasn't about you. Oh, I'm sorry. There goes my narcissism again, Sam Harris is mockingly saying. My only purpose in engaging you has been to try to get you to recognize how unprofessional your behavior has been. This is a lesson you don't seem willing to learn. In any case, I'm done. Good luck at this rate. You'll need a lot of it. So Sam was pretty upset. And then I will go ahead because I want to give CJ the last word because I don't want to misrepresent anything and cherry pick like CJ has done. I'm going to read this last email. I'm warning you, it's not going to be as interesting as everything else, but I got to do it because I don't want to cut off and have anyone say I misrepresented what happened here. So here's what CJ wrote back. And this is just out of curiosity. This was a half hour later, like I said earlier. I may know a little more about Islamic extremism than you give me credit for. Some of my best friends are Muslims. Okay, that's me being a smart arse. Which, that's fine. It's a joke. Oh, also, let me say. I think this last email is likely the reason that CJ published this exchange with it in his head that it's like a victory for him. Because he really did. Like, that was the tweet. It was like, oh, you can see how he operates and how, you know, I'll let you guys decide. Yeah, it really did seem from the tone. So let's see. So I'm cool with this part where he says, I know more about Islamic extremism than you give me credit for. I agree with him. I agree with him there. I think he's right. But not only did I reside in the most populous Muslim nation, Indonesia, for the 10-decade starting 2002, having narrowly escaped the Sari nightclub bomb in 02, and then not only witnessing the 2005 bombs at experience. Sorry, the text is really small now for no reason. But being one of the first responders, I've also spent significant time in the Middle East. You're an academic. I am not. So what I find troubling is that you've produced no peer-reviewed articles on terrorism, nor have you accumulated data on terrorism. Moreover, there's absolutely no interest from intelligence communities or government agencies for your writings on terrorism. Yet you not only present yourself as an expert, but also proceed to smear real experts like Robert Pape and Scott Atran. In fact, from reading your critiques of Pape and Atran, three conclusions can be drawn. You have not read their work. You have read the work but did not understand it. You have misrepresented them. Sam, you're far higher up the intellectual rung than I am. It should embarrass you to even be debating someone of my modest journalistic writings. Oh, he missed a T. That's ironic. Is that ironic? No, that's not ironic. Writing standard. It would be ironic if he was saying, check out my amazing writing standards, and he left out the T. That's what happened. Took me a second. Modest journalistic ring standards. But I guess it's not ironic. I guess it's just like, oh yeah, that's those modest ring standards. Anyway, I have to be precise because people, you know, ever since the song Ironic by Alanis Morissette, where she talked about a bunch of things that weren't actually ironic, people are sensitive to that with good reason. I think irony, you know, it's a Hitchens thing. It's a Hitchens influence. He was very tough on the precise definition of irony. And I don't think it's irony if he's writing that he has very modest, he's downplaying his writing standards and made a typo in those writing standards. Yeah, that's not, I don't think that's ironic. Anyway, debating someone of my modest journalistic ring standings. But I think it's helpful for the atheist movement to hear slash have this debate. Nay, it's important that America, UK, has this Islamic terrorism debate because too many think the terrorists hate us for our freedoms. End quote. That was end quote. Yes, it was Gabby of me to declare our email exchange a feud for the purpose of a hack headline. But you need to understand where I'm coming from. As an Australian living in the US, I'm out playing the Australian card. No, I'm just kidding. I'm incredibly frustrated by the lack of meaningful debate when it comes to foreign policy, especially by the mainstream media. At least he didn't say lamestream media. Obviously, guys like Jeremy Scahill and Greenwald are doing a great job, but they're marginalized here in dumb fuckistan. Huh. So with that in mind, I think this may have been before CJ realized that Sam Harris really doesn't like Greenwald. So that's interesting. That he almost appealed to Greenwald as like, you know, you and I both know he's great. Kind of, maybe I'm reading too much into that. Anyway, so with that in mind, I think a public spat over Islamic terrorism between two atheist authors has the potential to get this debate in the public square. It's a win-win. You win the argument, then you will awaken more minds to the dangers of Islam. I win, then I awaken the minds to the retardness of our foreign policy and wasteful spending on the military-industrial complex. P.S. I'm actually a pretty good bloke. Cheers, mate, CJ. Now, I think people have a hard time with this. And now that we have no idea, you and I, listeners, and me, if there was more email after this. This is where it ends. Oh man, I just think it was so low of CJ to post this, and like I said, selectively post it. I mean, if he had posted the whole thing and along with emails where maybe he was a little unreasonable, I don't know why he edited those, you know, cut those out of it. Then it would be one thing, but selectively posting private exchanges. I mean, you have no, you know, Sam Harris doesn't have a lot of recourse. I guess he could post it from his end. But it's pretty easy to mislead people when you're posting a private email exchange. I mean, you could edit, you could do anything. It just feels icky to me. It doesn't feel right. But now I want to talk about the allegations of plagiarism. I think this is a pretty serious thing. Now, I'm not an author yet. I might start writing something, but But I mean, I'm schooled. I'm educated. I went to college and took a lot of, you know, classes and stuff. So I'm practically a genius, right? In English related, literature related, whatever classes I've taken, I do remember plagiarism as being quite a serious thing. It's especially for a writer whose job it is. I think it's, you know, there's that author. God, who was that? I'm blanking on his name. I think Tom and Cecil mentioned him, whoever this author is, when they came on. One of them, I want to say it was Cecil, mentioned an author who basically his career was over after it was determined that he plagiarized some stuff. It was very recent. Crap, can't remember. Guys, get me in the comments to remind me who that is. It's not really something I can Google right now because I'm not currently remembering enough details to Google it. But if dedicated listeners, let me know if you remember what that was and who that was, or if you maybe at the time, if you knew who the author was, you would remember it better than I would, not knowing who it was. But anyway, it's pretty serious. People's careers end over plagiarism, and so it's a serious accusation. And so Godless Spellchecker, this is October 19th. That is a separate post. That is a second post. I don't have the original post up, but it was a couple days ago. Because today, you know, I'm recording this on the 19th. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Godless Spellchecker posted an article, a blog post rather, that CJ is plagiarizing. I'll actually go to that first one because, you know, why not? Oh, the 14th. It's been a while. No, that's not the one I'm talking about. This is professionalism, guys. Professionalism. October 17th. It was 2 days ago. Okay, I was right. I was so right. And it says, is CJ Werlman a plagiarist? I recently documented a number of concerns regarding the unpleasant behavior of quote-unquote author and social commentator CJ Werlman in my article. That was the first one I clicked on from the 14th. He said, Werlman is simply regurgitating past hack jobs and slapping sensationalist headlines on them. Now, he should point out, and I don't know if CJ has pointed this out, he pointed out on our show, on my show, that he doesn't pick his headlines. So it's the hack job websites he writes for who slap the sensationalist headlines on. So that much I can tell you, Mr. Spellchecker. You've already heard this elsewhere many times before, many years ago. These are, I guess, criticisms that he has. Also, what he has cobbled together in his attack on Harris has already been written by others many years ago. I'm not going to read this whole thing. So what he goes on to say, let me read just a tiny bit more. I attributed his imitative output to an absence of original thought rather than something altogether more cynical. But now it's possible my feeling of having read all this before was a symptom of literally having read some of this before. The above article mentions Dr. Peter Boghossian, which subsequently prompted a conversation between us. During our conversation, Dr. Boghossian called attention to some things he'd identified in C.J. Werlman's writing that I hadn't previously considered. So I decided to conduct an independent investigation. Why does he use the word independent there? Independent of what, Mr. Spellchecker? That's not. I don't think it means what you think it means. An independent investigation to determine whether or not CJ is guilty of actual plagiarism. What I mean, I guess he means just himself independently, but that's not independent from what? Like, usually when you have an independent investigation, it means apart from like the, you know, like, okay, the NBA or the NFL is a better example. They're going to have a independent investigation of their domestic abuse policy or something, or how they handled, Ray Rice. I think that's literally happening. An independent investigation. That means somebody not in the NFL. So it's, I don't know what he means. Sorry. I'm just nitpicking on something I just noticed now. I don't mean anything terrible by it. I think this Godless Spellchecker is interesting and It's he wrote an interesting piece, but I'm just nitpicking on this word. Independent of what? Like he's just doing an investigation, I think is what he means to say. Anyway, parts of Boghossian's letter have been reprinted. I'm not an investigative journalist or academic, so knowing how and where to begin was a problem. Then I quickly remembered Google exists. I lifted choice sections from some of the articles Werlemann published on prominent platforms such as Salon and Alternet. I paid specific attention to paragraphs containing information that would usually require a certain level of knowledge and diligence on the part of the author. My findings—it's kind of interesting methodology there. It's good thinking. My findings raise some serious questions. I shall provide examples below. So I'm not—I promise you—I'm not going through all these. These are—I will go through one example, and then I will tell you there's like 12 more, and there might be more now. Take this article from Fareed Zakariyeh. I just want to go one example, so you guys know what we're talking about here. From Fareed Zakariyeh, America's Educational Failings, from the Washington Post, dated May 1st, 2014, has the following passage. The United States had a wide gap between its best performers and its worst performers, and it had the widest gap in score between people with rich, educated parents and poor, uneducated parents. Undereducated. Then compare it with this from Werlemann's article published days later at Salon Alternet. The United States has a wide gap between its best performers and its worst performers, and it had the widest gap in scores between people with rich, educated parents and poor, undereducated parents. And the plagiarism part comes when that's not quoted. There's no indication given that this isn't Werlemann's original writing or any citation given. Now, that's all I'm going to read as far as the examples. There are a lot more. There's not like a million more. I don't know how many examples. This is a serious question that I don't know about because I'm not I'm not a journalist. I really don't know. Any journalists out there in the audience, I don't know how many examples of that sort of thing you need to be a serious thing. And this may surprise you guys, but I think I'm kind of on CJ's side on this a little bit, because CJ wrote, here's what he wrote. Since my recent appearance on the Young Turks Network, my criticism of Sam Harris's position as it specifically pertains to the main driver of terrorism led many of his ardent fans to attack me. I have no problem with that. I made myself fair game. Rather than attack my argument, however, Harris's most strident supporters co-opted a campaign to discredit me, and thus, in turn, my argument against Harris. Again, as a public figure, I am fair game. Now, at this point, I owe my readers, fans, and supporters a sincere and heartfelt apology. Through a combination of sloppiness and laziness, I have let you, myself, and Salon Alternet down badly. From a total of 55 Salon Alternet op-eds, totaling 65,000 words, a vetting process has revealed half a dozen instances of paragraphs that should have been enclosed in quotations. By every definition of plagiarism, these instances meet that definition. Excluding the one instance that happened to be an editing process error in a piece about the relationship between failing education system and income inequality, the only defense I can provide for the other half dozen instances is I incorrectly believed that the data, statistics, facts I had presented in these respective pieces were made clear that they weren't my own data, stats, facts. For I had cited the actual respective studies in half a dozen respective pieces. My writing has a tendency to state facts, findings, etc., and then construct my argument around it. Regardless, I have learned that's both sloppy and inexcusable, but it would make no sense to steal another's work by referencing the actual study I was referring to, the actual piece itself. No doubt this has been a very public and humiliating experience and a great lesson learned. My professional writing career began in 2009, and for those of you who have followed my progress will know that my writing style and my substance has improved during this period. Not only am I sincerely humbled, but I can assure you this level of sloppiness and unprofessionalism will never, ever happen again. I truly believe the causes I fight for are right and will continue to fight for them. Humbly yours, CJ Werlemann. So, a few mixed feelings about this. First off, he sort of was mocking a little bit. I think this is I think this is genuine, and honestly, I mean, this is just a judgment call. When we're dealing with a quote-unquote heartfelt apology and someone who says they owe a heartfelt apology, all you and I can do is use our judgment to see whether it's heartfelt or not. I mean, if someone just says, oh, yeah, sorry, I mean, of course, but that doesn't get us anywhere. But if someone truly is heartfelt about it, then you know, it gets us somewhere. And I think it's up to us to sort of judge. I can't totally tell. I want to say that this is pretty heartfelt, but the part that I think threw me off a little bit is he says, I let myself, Salon Alternate, you, myself, Salon, and me, myself, and Irene. I let you, myself, and Salon Alternate down badly, exclamation point. And then he says, from a total of, he emphasizes how many articles and words. A vetting process has revealed half a dozen instances. So it seems as though there it's a little bit like, this is no big deal. I've let you, like he's being a little bit flippant about it, a little bit. But I'm not sure, because the rest of it seems pretty genuine to me. So I'm wondering if it wasn't meant to be flippant. I mean, there's obviously a reason he emphasizes the number of words he's written and all that. So I mean, he's definitely trying to downplay it, but it's a fine line of whether that's like, you know, unreasonable or if he's being reasonable. But anyway, but I think he's very honest about the fact that his writing career began not long ago. And I've always found him, to be perfectly honest, to not be a great writer. I mean, I think he, you know, he has his things to say. That's a separate issue in terms of purely delivery of things that he's saying. I've always found him to be a little bit hard to read, a little bit. But I think this is very genuine. I mean, it's like, oh, my writing career began in 2009. He's admitted, he's pretty humble about his academic, you know, or I guess lack of academic credentials. And I really respect that. I mean, he's a guy who's he's writing what he believes in. You know, he's not an author. He's a writer by almost, I guess, just passion. He just needs to say things. And I can respect that. So I really don't mean to be too hard on him about his writing style and his writing, you know, that sort of thing. And I think I would put this, here's the difference maybe between me and like Godless Spellchecker and maybe others. There are a lot of people who are saying like, this is serious. Plagiarism is very serious. It ends careers, yada, yada. And they're right. But like CJ pointed out, I think I'm on his side on this, because he cites a lot of the same rhetoric a lot. I mean, this is one way where I would say, this is one of the reasons I said, I'm not a huge fan of his writing style. He cites the same sort of cliches a lot, same sort of, you know, rhetorical points and facts and figures a lot. But that also, I think, comes to his defense here, because he cites these things, he cites them most of the time. But here are several instances where he just didn't put quotes in. And I fully, fully buy the excuse of just laziness or you know, just what was the other word he used? Why am I not finding right now? Laziness or just, oh, he said combination of sloppiness and laziness. Okay. That wasn't that essential. I thought there was a different word he used, but anyway, I believe that excuse. I think it's sloppiness and laziness. I don't think it is stealing. I don't think it's like an active attempt to take credit where he shouldn't. So that's what I'd say. I think I'm on the plagiarism, as regards plagiarism. I think I'm on CJ's side. Let me know what you guys think. I think that the motives kind of fit. I mean, I think he admitted. I mean, his writing career began not long ago. He's gotten better, but he's not really a trained writer. He's not a trained journalist. And this is kind of the world we live in now. I mean, these websites, Salon, Alternate, lots of other, I mean, there's a billion of them now, and it doesn't take a journalist. It doesn't take someone who went to journalism school, someone who majored in, you know, writing, majored in English lit, majored in whatever, creative writing. It doesn't take someone like that to have some thoughts, write them on a blog, and actually be read by thousands and thousands of people, which, I mean, I think is a good thing. I think it's good and bad. I mean, it's double-edged like anything is. I think the good outweighs the bad. Maybe. I don't know. It's close. Because at the same time, you also get a lot of, you know, the 9/11 truther kind of stuff. I mean, you get a lot of stuff. But I do think it's good that we have more access to any ideas. I think that's always going to be a good thing. A net good. Like, net good. Definitely bad parts of it. But I would say a net good. So I think this fits. I mean, you don't have to be a trained author, and I think that sort of fits my view of CJ as somebody with a lot of ideas, some of them good, some of them I don't agree with, who's not really a trained like author, not a trained journalist. And I think that he made mistakes. He's apologized for them. He referenced the studies and the works in other places. He just didn't happen to quote these things. So I don't think that this plagiarism is too big of a deal. And just like that, holy crap, I'm out of time again. God, I'm really sorry, guys. Here's what I want. In the last bit of the show, I want to ask you guys some questions. Because like I said, I didn't get to very many of your comments because I got so many of them. I got kind of overwhelmed. I talked about a lot. I'm windy. I know I talk. I get distracted by little things. But I have to hope that's why you guys like me and listen to the show, because, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like getting going off on little tangents. I find it interesting. I'll try not to be too crazy with it. But anyway, as I go on a tangent just now, I want to ask you guys some things. And now I'm realizing it's really hard to ask anyone anything because I never know who's representative. As I've said, I never know who's, voice is representative. When I get a comment, I don't know if 100 people are thinking that or nobody, you know, one person is thinking it. But would you guys prefer to get more comments talked about on the air? I think you would. I definitely think the people who are commenting would, and I would like to too. But let me just tell you guys what holds me back a little bit, because what ends up happening is then I keep going back to episodes we just talked about. Like, for example, I was going to, until I ran out of time, talk about more abortion comments. But then it's like, you know, I'm dragging on that abortion week. Abortion week, everyone. Go out and get your abortions. It's abortion week. 50% off. I was dragging out that sort of pro-choice, pro-life debate week. I'm dredging it up. And I could spend, if I went through all you guys' comments, well, that would be an eternity. If I went through just the good ones, because there's a ton of good ones. If I went through just the good ones, it would take a whole episode, I think. And so I want to ask you guys, go ahead and hit me up on, let's see, what's the easiest place? I guess the web, wherever you want, I don't care. Contact me either, whatever, atheisticallyspeaking@gmail.com. People keep asking my email address. I guess it's up on the Facebook logo thingy, backdrop, whatever, but people seem to miss it. However you want to get in contact with me, let me know if you would like that. I think you would. I'm guessing you would. I mean, it is pretty cool. I like to hear from you guys. I like to whatever. I also would like to, it would be fun to have like almost a call-in thing. I could do that. There's a few ideas I'm having. And let me know what you guys think. One is I just forget about the fact that I'm dredging up a past show. I don't worry about it. And just take an opportunity to talk about more of your comments, especially with something like abortion where there was a ton, it was a big topic. There's a lot. So that's kind of option one. Just, say, you know, Thomas, don't worry about the fact that you'd be kind of going back to ground we've already covered. Don't worry about it. It's interesting because, you know, I want to hear from the listeners, that sort of thing. So that's option one. You can also tell me, I don't want to hear from the listeners at all. I'd rather hear you drone on for hours. And so I don't think many people are going to pick that option, but it is an option. And then here's another thing I'm thinking. I could set aside an episode. Let me know what you guys think of this. This is an idea I'm tossing around. I could set aside an episode every once in a while. I don't know how often. Probably not once a week. That'd be a little too much, but I don't know, every other week or something. To have like sort of a sound off of get in touch with a few of you who have these great comments, because there's a lot of you, get you on Skype and sort of do almost a call in, like, let's talk about these various issues we've talked about. Let's discuss them. And sort of do that kind of show just every once in a while. And that would be a way of getting more of the great views that you guys have that you've expressed to get them on the air. That's certainly a possibility. I think that I kind of like that idea. But let me know, give me your votes, cast your votes. And then another thing related to that idea, I want to have, again, as I've said, because the abortion one was such a big deal. I mean, I got tons of responses. I want to have Christine back on and get her to address some of the problems that you guys have pointed out. What do you think? Take a vote. I'm giving you guys a lot of homework, and you can choose to ignore it if you want. What do you think is the best way to do that? Do you think I should get her on, just read her comments, or should I maybe try to get you guys on? Should I try to get a little panel? Should I try to get one, maybe multiple of you, to come on and talk directly to Christine, almost like Christine v. the world, regarding abortion. Let me know what you think there, because I do want to do something. And she already said she'd love to come back on. She's very nice. She's great. So I think she'll come back on. And she's a pleasure to talk to. So I want to do that. And then finally, here's my last thing. I don't think I got as many comments as I got. I didn't get very many, if any, that I can even remember. I think I got a couple about the specific issue I talked about the whether or not bodily autonomy gives you the right to kill the baby, to actively murder the baby. I got a few comments on it. Yes, I don't want to downplay the ones I did get, but I didn't get very many, and I was looking for answers there. So I'm going to say, if you haven't commented, or if you did comment not on that, and not to say I don't appreciate it, I appreciate all comments. But I am looking for that specific sort of thing. I'm curious about what people think about that part. Going from sure you can let the baby starve, that might be justified to not have to give your body to the baby, but can you actively kill the baby? So that was logic I was curious about. So, all right, I'm way out of time again. And so as usual, direct all your comments to me and I'll try to sort through them. Sound off on your, give me your votes there and let me know. Oh, I take Patreon comments more seriously because, you know, you're supporters. So if you are a patron, you might want to sound off on Patreon, because I will take those more seriously, because I listen to, just like anyone, I'm going to listen to the people who pay me. So I'm going to listen to the patrons, my employers. I have a lot of you guys. You know, I got to negotiate a living wage for the per hour. Now, I don't want to sound ungrateful at all. You guys are the best. I'm just making jokes. So if you do want, you know, to more directly affect the vote there, comment on Patreon, because I take it more seriously. So that's it. That's all the time I have. It's been far too long. We're over an hour again, and I will see you on Thursday.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.